everyone. I'd like to say a few words today about Thich Nhat Hanh, who passed away recently at the age of 95. And obviously a very influential figure in Buddhism and in so many different ways. So I just want to touch on some of the ways that I've been influenced by him and inspired by him. One of those ways is what I would call maybe soulful simplicity, but not simplistic. So his teachings really touch simplicity sort of at the deepest level, but they're not simple. He was quite a renowned Buddhist scholar. In fact, I think from memory, he actually founded a university in Vietnam for the war. So he certainly knew his Buddhism really well. And some of his writings, I like that. So there's a book called Awakening of the Heart, where he talks in some great depth about some of the main sutras in the Buddhist tradition. So, for instance, the Satipatthana Sutra, which is the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Heart Sutra that we are very familiar with in Zen, also the Diamond Sutra and some others. And if you'd ever like to explore some of those sutras in more depth, then perhaps, you know, that book could be a good gateway into looking at some of those more traditional Buddhist texts. He also wrote a book called The Other Shore. And that was actually a new translation of the Heart Sutra. So he retranslated the Heart Sutra and then wrote commentary about it as well. And again, that sense of the writing is very deep, but also very accessible. And one of the things, even though his English wasn't his first language, he had a way of finding ways of expressing some of those Buddhist teachings in a way that was much more accessible. For instance, I think it was him that came up with the word interbeing to describe our interconnectedness. And we had that in the reading today. You know, the flower is already in the compost and the compost is already in the flower. That sense of, you know, constant relationship, being in relationship. And the more traditional language around that is codependent arising. And, you know, all those concepts around that. But interbeing just sort of seems to summarize that sort of concept in a way that's much easier to grasp and understand. He also was very embodied in his teaching. And a few months ago, I gave the example of Subhana Basagi, who actually met Thich Nhat Hanh when he was younger. And after the evening meal, he started washing the dishes. And she described that she's never seen anyone wash dishes less Thich Nhat Hanh did. That every dish she washed like a baby Buddha, you know, that just real attention to detail. And there was a real warm-heartedness around the way he taught Buddhism and brought it into everyday life. So for instance, one of the things he focused on a lot is meditation, everyday life, for instance, walking meditation. And so I'll just read a quote by him. Many of us walk for the sole purpose of getting from one place to another. Now suppose we are walking to a sacred place. We will walk quietly and take each gentle step with reverence. I propose that we walk this way every time we walk on the earth. The earth is sacred and we touch her with each step. We should be very respectful because we are walking on our mother. If we walk like that, then every step will be grounding. Every step will be nourishing. So it's just a beautiful way of, I think it's something that I've really gained from the way he teaches is just to keep reminding us of the sacredness of everyday life and not to go looking elsewhere for it. You know, the miracle of mindfulness is one of his books says. And bringing that sacred dimension to everything we do, even walking from, you know, the supermarket back to the car and walking to the photocopier, all of those steps we take every day. And it reminds me a bit of Joko Beck when she was asked why she wasn't ordaining anyone in her lineage, you know, why people weren't, she wasn't offering ordination for monks or nuns, which is very common in certainly in traditional Zen practices, that there's an option of ordination. And she said that if someone asks her about that, she says to them, if you want to be a monk, then live like a monk. And again, that's just so simple, but so true. Like, you know, if you're actually interested in living a more spiritual life, whatever that means, then why not just live it in the midst of everyday life? Another dimension of his teaching, which I find very helpful for myself, but also teach nowadays whenever I teach mindfulness, is the gentle half smile. And so I just invite you to, just for a moment, just bring a little frown to your forehead. Just think about something slightly annoying. And then as you breathe in, and breathe out, and then just bring a gentle half smile behind the face instead. And just notice how that feels in your face and in your body. And again, it's a really simple teaching, you know, it's hardly possible to be much simpler than that, but very can be very profound, a very different way of engaging with our life. If we have that sense of the underneath, the gentle half smile. So in this book, there's another book I really love by him, which is called Silence. And it says, Silence, the power of quiet in a world full of noise. And again, it's a book that I use a lot, quotes from the book when I teach mindfulness on retreats and in courses. And it's got a quote by the Dalai Lama about the book. But this book shows us the connection between personal inner peace and peace on earth. And what he talks about is silence on many different levels. And one of them is about creating the sense of spaciousness inside us. And that sometimes we might feel like, you know, if things aren't working the way we want them to, we have to make more and more, we have to bring more and more things in. And that sense of that actually perhaps what we need, less distractions, less things coming out of, more that sense of inner peace. He says, silence is essential. We need silence just as much as we need air, just as much as plants need light. If our minds are crowded with words and thoughts, there is no space for us. The other thing he talks about quite a bit in that book, which I find really helpful, is the connection between our own personal practice and bringing a sense of peacefulness into the world. And I think if you've ever seen footage of Thich Nhat Hanh, it's very clear how, you know, having his own deep personal practice enables him to create that, almost spreading that sense of peacefulness to people around him. And then he, for instance, one of the things he says, he talks about deep listening and using that sense of silence to promote deep listening and a mindful response when we are with people. And he says, only when we have been able to open space within ourselves can we really help others. And it's again just stepping away from that sense of, you know, I should be doing something, I need to do this, I need to do that, and just looking at our own sense of inner personal space and peacefulness before we start thinking about how that supports others, but how that can be really, so he says, for instance, the more space we make for stillness and silence, the more we have to give both to ourselves and to others. And I want to just finish the talk with one of my favorite quotes by him. The most precious thing we can give to another is our presence, which contributes to the collective energy of mindfulness and peace. We can sit for those who can't sit, walk for those who can't walk, and create peace and stillness within us for people who have no stillness or peace.